Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. Good morning, Kelly.
Hello.
Welcome back to Monday. Welcome back to it. Happy first day of class for the students of U of L. It's about to get real. How was your weekend, by the way?
Well, how was yours?
Oh, was yours not very good?
Well, it was just, I didn't have one, but how was yours?
Oh, okay. I went to Chicago real quick for a quick radio conference thing, and then got back. And
I told people you were going there to learn how to do radio.
Right. That's kind of what it is. It's you know, you learn different techniques and stuff and all that fun stuff. But anyways, on Saturday, you know, I got back late Friday night, and it kind of bummed me out because I got bumped up to first class coming back home.
That bummed you out?
No. Well, I'm going to tell you why in a sec. Because, and anybody who knows the flight from Louisville to Chicago is a pretty quick one, you know?
Uh-huh.
I was excited. I was like, oh, yeah, I get to live the first class life. You know, I get on the plane and I fall right to sleep. And I wake up as we land and I miss the entire, opportunity to enjoy.
You didn't get like a hot towel or something? I don't know. What other amenities you get.
Maybe I could have.
But
I wasn't awake for any of it.
Maybe better peanuts.
I mean, they probably came around with like champagne flutes and champagne and
oh wow,
prime rib. But I just,
oh, you missed it all.
I just snored right through it all.
And
I'm just sitting there. I'm all excited. I'm like, yeah, first class. Look at all this room. Yeah. And then plane takes off. And then all of a sudden it's just like it. And then it lands. It's like, welcome to Louisville. I'm like, what?
Oh, you missed your entire first class life.
I know. I was like, what? Hang on a second.
You may never get that chance again.
We need a redo.
Wait, go back.
We need a redo.
That's so tragic.
I don't fly first class. I finally get to I fall asleep.
I have never been in the first class life either, and I needed to know what it was like, and you can't tell me.
I can't. I can tell you that the seats are a little wider, and they're more comfortable. It's so comfortable that I literally just fell asleep.
They sucked the life right out of you. And you just, oh,
they did.
Wow.
They did. So so then, you know, I had, my wife is out of town playing gigs, with her band, and my older two daughters are moved out there at U of L in the dorms. And so it's just, me and my youngest, Zoe. And, you know, she had a cross-country meet on Saturday morning. And then after that, like, she and I were like bums. I had stuff to do around the house, didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
We just vegged. We played a couple games. We lounged around on the couch. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, you want to get dinner? All right. Well, let's go to bed.
Oh, wow.
It was like I almost needed that entire day to just almost decompress and recover from all that stuff. So,
yeah. So my daughter had a game. She had to cheer on Saturday. Oh, my goodness. Just because, you know, the cheerleaders are on the black, you know, track around the football field, which that radiates heat up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the sun beating down. I had to come, and it went into overtime, which we won. Yay. But then got home. I had to lay on the floor with an ice pack under my head. It was like the cheer life is not for the faint of heart.
You
were there like an hour before the game, and then it's like extra long game. I brought, you know, a cooler full of icy towels for the girls to like dab in between.
Is that what the assistant coach does?
That's pretty much. I'm the dab and the skirt patrol and the videographer and the smile. You guys are gonna get that. Come on, you got that. That kind of thing.
And your son had a birthday too, didn't he?
He did. Yep. That
please
was.
Please wish him a happy birthday from me because I didn't. I was not around to do that in person.
I will. 13. That's a big number. And then yesterday all day, I was at a bridal show and met lots of nice people and gave away some prizes. And that was kind of the day. So I have not had the decompressing time. I hope to get some at some point.
All right.
But,
well,
yeah.
I mean, you got next 4 hours that you're not going to do much. So you
absolutely. I'm just going to sit back, let you do the heavy lifting, I'll laugh a couple of times, and that's about it.
Do you remember the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, of course. It's iconic.
Yeah, that classic movie from like the 80s, 9970JX. Apparently, it is now getting a spinoff. You're like, what? Because those type of John Hughes movies from like the 80s, those were always just one and done. Those never had sequels. Those never had spinoffs or anything like that. And so you're thinking, okay, so it's going to be like Ferris and Sloan. Remember, Ferris was Matthew Broderick and Sloan was his girlfriend. Right. You know, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe it's them like as parents now and having an unruly teenager of their own. You know, maybe that's the storyline.
Uh-huh.
But no, the spinoff is of the valets that took Cameron, you know, Ferris's friend's dad's Ferrari out for a joyride when they dropped it off at the parking garage, you know, for their day off.
Right.
If you'll recall, this was the scene.
We're not leaving the car here.
What up?
Cameron, what's going to happen to it? It's in a garage.
It could get wrecked, stolen, scratched, breathed on wrong.
I'm going to give the guy a fiver to watch. Hey, how you doing? Listen, I want you to take extra special care of this vehicle.
Hey, no problem.
Great.
Trust me.
Trust me. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they, you know,
Ferris out.
I was going to say Ferris, Cameron and Sloan all like walk out and go like to the Art Institute of Chicago or whatever. And then you see in the background, the two valets like peel off and just take off. And so the spinoff is going to be what they did because
really?
Yeah. Because they put on like 200 miles on that car. Because remember, part of the whole movie, and sorry if this is a spoiler, is that they try to roll back the odometer on the
by putting it in reverse.
Yes, yeah. In this antique Ferrari. And so, you know, because of all the miles that the valets put on that car. So anyways, the spinoff is going to be what those two valets did during their day off. So I think
that's interesting.
Yeah, right.
That just now they're coming up with the idea to do that.
I know. I think that's going to be kind of cool. So anyways, look for that coming in the next, you know, year or two here with 9970JX.
Whoever laughs first loses. It's you laugh, you lose. With Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, Trumpet Fanfare means it's time for You Laugh, You Lose, a game where Kelly and I sling jokes back and forth. First person who laughs loses. Did I say the fourth person who laughs loses? Is that what I said?
Maybe. But it is the first.
It is the first.
Because we don't have four people.
No, we do not. All right. So You Laugh, You Lose here. Brought to you by the Caravan Comedy Club. Uh-huh. It's all tied up, Kelly. It is tied up.
Is it really? Gosh, I'd had a lead for so long. I got real used to being all by myself in the winner's circle.
Well, you got company, Kelly.
Okay.
All right. You laugh, you lose. Losers go first. You ready?
That's me.
All right.
There we go. Wait a second. Stop looking at me like that. Stop doing that and stop looking at me like that because that's dirty pool. Stop!
All right.
Put your shirt down, sir. That is dirty pool.
All right. Sorry. I was just getting comfortable.
My eyes. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Wait a second. Okay.
Do you want another little look?
Stop it. Put it down. Put that down. Put it down.
All right.
Here we go. Hey, Ben.
Yes.
And my son tried coffee for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
He said, ew, tastes like dirt.
Mm.
I said, yeah, it was just ground this morning.
Kelly, a German shepherd and a sheep are out on a date. German Shepherd says,
what do you mean I'm too controlling?
Sheep says, you heard me.
Literally. Good start, sir.
Thank you.
Good start. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Accidentally drank invisible ink.
Oh, no.
Waiting to be seen by a doctor.
Ah. Kelly, I just got a promotion on the farm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can say hello to the new CIEIO.
Awesome.
C-I-E-I.
Got it.
Okay.
Got your own little song there. It's great. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Pro tip. Don't fart in the Apple store.
Ooh.
They have no windows.
Hot box, everyone there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No one needs that.
No. Kelly, how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb?
How many therapists does it take to change a light bulb?
Only one, but the light bulb has to want to change.
Right. Absolutely. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
You know the world's oldest computer can be traced back to Adam and Eve?
Really?
Yeah. It was an Apple with limited memory. Just one byte. Everything crashed.
All right. Kelly, what happened when Tinkerbell couldn't find a bathroom?
What happened when Tinkerbell couldn't find a bathroom?
She Peter Pans.
Unfortunate. She wears tights. Actually, no, she doesn't wear pants, does she?
She wears tights.
She just has the dress, though. I'm going to look that up. Hey, Ben.
What?
Guy says, I got my wife a metal detector for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like it.
Oh.
Weird, because she likes to dig up things from the past.
What did one German bread say to the other German bread?
What did they say?
Gluten Tag!
Cute.
Thank you.
Delicious. Hey, Ben.
Yes?
Why are Billy Joel's clothes still wet?
Why?
He didn't start the dryer!
There are four people in our audience that would actually get that joke.
They're going to really love that one, though. They're going to love it.
Kelly, two women are golfing.
Yeah?
First woman says, you know, last time I was here, a bee stung me between the first and second holes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Second woman said, that's because your stance is too wide.
I got there faster than you got there. I did. Owie.
Tighten up that stance.
Yep. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I've changed my Facebook username to Nobody.
Uh-huh.
So now when people post crap, I can click the like button and it'll say nobody likes this.
What's the hardest part of being a vegan, Kelly?
What is the hardest part of being a vegan?
Waking up at 4:30 to milk the almonds.
Yeah.
You got tiny little teats.
Do they, though? I don't think they have teats. I do like the motion, though, that we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ben, what happens when you cross an angry sheep and an angry cow?
What?
Two animals in a bad mood.
You are so dumb.
I'll take your pity lap. I don't care because it's a win.
Dumb.
It's a W in my corner.
Listen,
if that one didn't take you out, I had one more. I had one more. It's a little bit more worthy, but I'll take that. I'll take it. It's a bad mood. Oh, you know what? Now you're going to be in a bad mood because you lost a trophy. Oh, my God.
All right, there you are. You laugh, you lose. Brought to you by the Caravan Comedy Club. Enjoy it, dummy. 99.7 DJX.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
All right, so this is like if Bonnie and Clyde had gone to a performing arts school in our next Setting the Bar story coming up, okay?
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So some art with the crime.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Because we always try to bring art into everything.
Absolutely.
Then, just after 7, Becca has a coworker who is difficult to deal with. In fact, if she weren't co-workers with her, she'd probably say something to her. As we dive into the DMs coming up here just after 7 on 99. Kelly, if I were to say this is a Setting the Bar story, how would you describe it?
I would tell you it's an example of what not to do or situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, this is a budding romance, honestly, at the root of it.
So it's a love story.
Love story, if you will. Kind of like a love story like Bonnie and Clyde.
Uh-huh.
You know, from the Old West, couple of outlaws, right?
Yeah.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without, oh, I don't know, on your first date, breaking into a church, you're doing okay.
Oh. Oh, wow. No, I don't. We're not singing hallelujah over that. We're not.
It's a love story between 20-year-old Sebastian and 19-year-old Danielle. Out on their first date, then they realize they had something in common. That they're both pianists.
Oh, they both have the skills in playing the piano.
That's right.
Got it.
So they're like,
let's do that together. Let's make some music together.
Yeah, they're like, man, where would we find a piano? They're like, let's look at a church. So
never mind that we're not supposed to enter the church right now. It's probably locked. Was it locked?
Well, they went to the first church they went to, had a door with a broken lock. So they decided, okay, you know what? That must mean enter.
Yes, so, well, that's divine intervention there. Like, come on in here and play the piano.
Now, look, they went inside. They found a piano. They played it for about 30 minutes. Now, this probably would not have gotten them into too much trouble, right? But they decided to take some souvenirs on their way out. Like in four Bibles, along with a set of drumsticks. And, oh yeah, the church's collection plate.
Oh, there it is.
Right.
Now, you know, I'm all about... If people want to have the word of the Lord, that's not good to take stuff.
You know, they might have gotten away with it if there weren't security cameras.
Oh, dang.
So Sebastian and Danielle ended up confessing to the whole thing, admitted, yes, probably a dumb idea. Now they're facing charges for felony burglary and misdemeanor theft. So,
ooh, that doesn't bode well for the second date.
Well, I would say that they at least have a story.
They do have a story.
And something in common.
Continue through at least the court hearings and possible sentencing.
Yeah, who knows? So anyways, yeah, probably not a great first date idea to commit a felony, but there we are. So again, if you can...
Start it off romantic in nature.
Right. If you can manage to make it through the day without, oh, I don't know, on your first date, breaking into a church and committing a felony, you're doing okay.
This honestly had the makings of an amazing... Amazing love story, like to the caliber of The Notebook. This could have been the start of their story.
I mean, it still is the start of their story, honestly.
It could be.
So, yeah. It's only can go up from here.
I'm kind of rooting for them a little bit.
All right, so there you go. That's setting the bar on 99.7 DJX. Kate Bush running up that hill, Stranger Things 4, 99.7 DJX. Chris Martin from Coldplay saw an opportunity, one of his concerts, to redo that song.
Everybody's singing it with
him. I was going to say, as soon as the crowd recognizes what he's doing, they just dive right in. That was during Coldplay's fifth of six shows for their Wembley Stadium series in London. So, pretty cool there. 99.7 DJX. All right, at Ben and Kelly Show, you can always get a hold of us via DMs. In fact, every now and then, we'll toss out what you send us. Like Becca, who do you want to dive into this?
Sure. It says, "Hey Ben and Kelly, do you mind if I dive into your DMs really quickly?"
Not at all.
So I have a coworker I don't know how to handle. We're friends.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes socialize together outside of work.
Everybody.
She's very intelligent, but becomes visibly upset when she's corrected or proven wrong, and she avoids taking anyone's advice unless absolutely necessary, even when she asks a question.
She sounds like a gem.
She won't lash out, but she shuts down the conversation, which makes it difficult to get anything accomplished when we have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a friend, I'd like to level with her that her behavior isn't okay, but if she weren't my coworker, I would say something, but I don't want to cause unnecessary drama on our team.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But she's struggling at work because of this.
Uh-huh.
She won't reach out for help. She constantly complains about how she's been forced into this bad position and can't progress in her career, and that our manager doesn't like her, so she's just letting her fail.
Mm.
So is there anything I can do to help her out or at least stop her from getting on my nerves?
I mean, I think you got to do what you don't want to do, and that's talk to her as a friend.
Right.
And I know,
maybe,
you know, it is tough to deal with people who don't like, I don't know, constructive criticism or don't take any of that stuff well. And it's like, how do you tiptoe around that? Or do
it's
you?
It's all in your choice of words and how you say it, I think. You have to approach it with, hey, I know you're struggling with this, and I was just thinking about it. Maybe, you know, this is something that might help. Come at it with kind of a solution frame of mind, but also pointing out what she's doing that might be contributing to her struggles.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, if there's a specific example at work, especially something that happened recently, you might be able to go back to that and say, you know, I was thinking about this thing that happened at work, and, you know, maybe we could have, maybe it could have been different if this and this and this would have happened. And maybe if you weren't such a psycho at work, you know.
I think we leave that part out. That's the part where the downfall happens.
Absolute nut job at work, then maybe, you know, we wouldn't be dealing with the situation we're in.
Yeah.
You know, you complain about not advancing at work. Maybe it's because of this.
Yeah, well, she's not great at any sort of the criticism or correction. So we have to maybe mask the criticism and the correction behind kind words and solutions and help.
Why is the manager not jumping in on this? Because I'm sure the manager sees this.
Probably.
Well, I guess you're right. She does say that the manager doesn't like her, according to her. Maybe that's why she's just letting it go on and almost like dig her own grave.
Uh-huh. That could be. So if, you know, Becca wants to help save her friend from digging her own grave, she's got to figure out how to like choose the words so they don't feel like criticism. Now, of course, Andrew the Love Doctor chimes in. She needs to buckle up, Buttercup. Okay, which one needs to buckle up? Is it Becca or the friend? Because Becca's trying to like keep the peace but wants to help.
Yeah, that's where Becca needs to just say, hey, friend to friend, I know this is going to be tough for you to hear because, you know,
No one ever likes to hear anything negative about themselves.
Right, right. And so, you know, you're not going to help your situation and you're not going to advance if you continue in this way. I don't know. That is tough.
Yeah, we got another text. As a manager, I imagine her manager dislikes her because she's not receptive to feedback.
Yeah, 100%.
I guess Becca could manage some feedback that sounds like nicer, just handle her with kid gloves a little bit, but then, you know, tell her what she needs to change to be more successful. And maybe we just kind of take an attitude of, listen, I want you to be successful. I like working with you, all this kind of stuff. You got to, you know, butter up a little bit with some praise, and then you can kind of lower the boom a little bit with what she needs to change and do differently.
Do it on with a night of drinking. Like, go out, get some drinks, and loosen her up, loosen you up. Maybe you'll hear more of why she is the way she is, or more of why she feels like her, you know, she's in the position she's in. And then, you know, then you can just be like, hey, as a friend.
Listen. I'm a little afraid she's not going to remember. That
well, but
if you're getting to that point where, hey,
I don't know, maybe a couple drinks just to loosen her up and loosen you up, and then kind of make that conversation a little
then
bit
you
more
can be honest.
Quote organic.
Uh-huh.
Then it might hit a little bit better. So
Maggie said she could ask if it's okay to share with her some observations and feedback that she may not want to hear, but tell her it's out of love. If the friend is open, make it a positive sandwich. Start with a positive, enter the feedback, end on a positive note.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion, Maggie. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Becca, hopefully this gives you a little bit of ammo as you move forward. Like I said, I would do it over drinks, but, you know, that's just me. And
okay, just a few drinks, not too many to where you're like, hey. You know, that part.
All right. Good luck, Becca. And before we get into the update from this group therapy from last week, Kelly, will you give us kind of the recap on what it was and where we left it?
Yeah, so he proposed to her, his girlfriend, with a gorgeous $6,000 ring that she loves, showing it off to everybody.
Yeah.
What she doesn't know is it was actually given to his first ex-fiance.
Mm.
Now, his mom and sisters think that he needed to fess up, get her a new ring. Some suggested he intended that, you know, the ring was supposed to go to his future wife, which was not his ex, which would be, you know, in his corner.
Right.
But most suggested if she knew the backstory of the ring, she'd be upset and thought they should trade it in towards an upgrade of a new ring that they pick out together.
Yeah, ton of people even coming back to that on Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show with a lot of opinions and everything. Now the update.
Okay.
Hey, Ben and Kelly, so I do have an update for you, and it's probably not what you expected. In fact, I was shocked. So after you all talked about my situation, a ton of people came out of the woodwork to ask me if you were all talking about me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And offered up their advice, too. Yeah, you could say I got way more, quote, advice than I anticipated.
Oh, boy.
I read all the comments, the good and the bad. I listened to all my friends chime in and decided I had to turn off the noise. I knew with all this attention, it was going to get back to my fiance, so I had to tell her first. Smart.
Uh-huh.
I planned a nice dinner at our apartment and left work early to make sure things looked right. In fact, I feel like I spent more time preparing for this than I did preparing for her proposal.
Oh, no.
Anyway, she gets home, is surprised, and asks what this is all about. I tell her I have to tell her something, and she gets really quiet.
Oh.
And I can tell she's bracing for something big. I assure her that I didn't cheat or anything like that, but that it's about her ring. She says, "What about my ring?"
Oh, gosh.
I start to panic because I'm thinking there's no way to gracefully say this. So I start by asking her if she remembers my ex-fiance.
Okay, so stop right there. Like, there was a question whether she knew he was engaged before. She does. Okay, this is good.
Yes. And before I could go any further, she says, yeah, this was the ring you got her. What else?
Oh, whoa. Okay, so she knew that. She seems fine with it.
He says, I was shocked. I told her nothing. That was what I needed to tell her. And she said she already knew and didn't care. She then tells me that she had seen pictures of my ex and me with the ring on her finger and recognized it as soon as I proposed.
Is it put two and two together? It's like, all right, whatever.
She's like, it's
mine
ring.
Now.
That's
sucks
right.
Sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck. Guess what? It's mine. She said.
That's a great attitude to have.
Yeah, she said it was a beautiful ring and didn't care it was on another woman's hand before hers because it was meant for her and not for my ex.
I love her.
Wow.
She's great.
Wow.
She's taking this like a champ.
Yeah. She then tells me that the ring her brother has for his future fiance is from my grandma's failed marriage. And it's a beautiful 3-carat diamond ring.
Oh, wow.
All right.
You know, I feel like 3 carats can fix stuff.
I think it can. Right. To tell you I felt so much relief is an understatement. I did feel a little bad for throwing my sisters and mom under the bus by telling her that she needs to say the same thing she said to me to them.
Yeah.
Because they're not cool with it.
Yeah.
So she calls my mom right away and talks to her about it and says she's cool with it and everything is good.
Okay, good. See, I think the concern from mom and the sisters was coming out of the whole they wanted to protect
right.
the fiance that they love, and they didn't want anything to ruin their happy moment. I think that's where that was coming from. So this is great.
He concludes saying, I couldn't have even imagined this being the outcome. If I had, I would have spared you all the trouble and just talked to her to begin with. Anyway, thanks for your help. And my fiance says to say hey to y'all.
Oh,
so thanks
hey.
Again.
Can we come to the wedding now? Yay.
Yeah. And for one, no, you 100% needed to come to us with that.
Because, absolutely.
Because we needed to get invested in your situation,
right.
too.
Right. We wouldn't be invested if we didn't know about it.
Because think about it. Had you not gotten all this heat from all these other people that heard your situation on the air, maybe you wouldn't have even done anything.
Yes.
And maybe that wouldn't have mattered in the long run anyways.
It sounds like with this fiance, she wouldn't have cared. She's just loving the ring and it's mine now.
Yes. Someone texted in and said, the ex may be gone, but you never get mad at the diamonds.
That's right.
That's funny though. She's
that's
like,
really
hey,
philosophy.
Guess what? It's mine now. Sucks
that's
to
right.
suck. You couldn't hang on, but I can. All right. I like it. Hey, thank you so much for that update.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was, I think you're right, probably best case scenario out of the entire thing.
100%. Like, so? I ain't mad.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What else you got?
It's a beautiful ring. And, you know, it's like, he gives it to her and she's like, oh, yeah, I know what this is. I've seen pictures. It's like, I'm sure she's internet stalked. I'm sure she saw photos. I'm sure she went deep into his ex-fiance's Instagram and mined that. So
she
it's
is
like,
savvier than we gave her credit for.
Yeah, 100%. So
high five.
Anyways, hey, thank you so much for updating us on that. We appreciate it. And yeah, we will definitely be waiting for that invite to the wedding because I've got a Michael Graves toaster that I've been trying to give away for years. That would be perfect for you. So there you go. It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. By the way, if you missed the update that we just had from last week's group therapy where he re-gifted his current girlfriend, now fiance, and ex's engagement ring, it was not what we expected.
Not at all.
Yep. And you can listen to it. It's already up on the podcast at WDGX.com. Click listen. All right. So at Ben and Kelly Show on Twitter. So this woman, Jacqueline, she went on Twitter and asked what folder colors you'd assign to each class in school. She says, my family is currently in a heated argument. Help me out. You're back in high school. What folder colors do you assign your classes? The subjects are math, science, English, and history. The colors are blue, red, yellow, and green.
Okay. And now, I feel like instantly, are you not thinking about Trivial Pursuit? Because those categories are in there, yeah, and they have colors assigned to them, little pie pieces.
Yeah, you're right. And
I want to say history was yellow in that game, too.
Yeah, you may be right. And so, yeah, I'm thinking that, but, you know, thinking back to colors of folders that maybe I had, and then even that my daughters had, because I know that my daughters had different colored primary color folders and stuff for different subjects. And, and I'm thinking red was math every single time.
Okay. That would make sense. I'm not as committed to a color for math. I agree with science being green because of plants.
Yeah, but what about
a lot of people say
ocean and sky? That could be blue.
That's true. That is true. There is that. So what part of the science are you going to focus on when you're trying to pick the color of the folder?
Right, right. So some of the responses, which by the way, if you want to see this Twitter thread, it literally went crazy bonkers over the weekend.
Of course, everyone's got strong opinions about folder colors.
Right, exactly. And you know, if you're going to argue about something, why not argue about something that's just,
why not?
You know, fun debate where we're all laughing and joking with one another and not that serious. But yeah, some people were saying, hey, yes, the Trivial Pursuit came up a lot.
Yes, naturally. But there's no math category. I get that.
Right.
That's where you're just going to have to get it in where you fit in.
Right.
With that. Pick the others first.
Others
and
went,
then whatever's left, give to math.
Others went Star Trek uniform. Like math is yellow, science is blue, English green, history red. I don't agree with that at all.
How? Yeah, I don't understand the tie to Star Trek.
Guess I'm not a Trekkie, so I don't really know.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Others do it by period, which I did do that as well, but I don't think I assigned
class order and
yeah,
stuff.
Class order. I don't know if I assigned a color to it, but others were like, I did it in a rainbow spectrum order. Like first period was red, second period was yellow, third period was green, fourth period was blue.
Mm.
So whatever subject that was, that's what it associated with.
Okay. I'm still on board with science is still green, right?
I guess I could get on board with science being green, but I could
universally speaking.
To me, yellow is more like a social studies sort of thing. So maybe that's history for me.
Okay. And again, I believe that that's consistent with Trivial Pursuit.
So. Yellow being kind of history, social science, things like that. Red, I'm going math. Blue, oh man, blue, maybe, I guess English is all that's left,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's one comment, history's red because of wars.
No.
English is blue because stories make you sad.
No, that's dumb.
And
that's dumb.
Is
sorry.
Yellow
sorry, I disagree. I disagree. Annie, Annie's kind of on board with what we said. Red equals math, science equals green, language arts, English equals blue, history and social studies equals yellow. And she says, this is the way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you, Annie.
So that's final answer.
Final answer from our listener, Annie. So, anyways, if you want to see the text thread, it's pretty humorous because people are literally arguing over colors.
Very passionate about it.
Very passionate about colors, for sure. I flashed someone while I was in Chicago.
I'm sorry, back the truck up? Like, Little Ben Davis? What's happening?
It's 99.7 DJX. So, yeah, I took a quick trip to Chicago. We were there for, you know, kind of a radio conference, right? The hotel that I was in, I was up on the 11th floor. Mm-hmm. And I like downtown Chicago in that I will open up the window or the blinds in the window and I'll just kind of take a look because you can see, it's going to sound bad. You can see in a bunch of different rooms, like condos, apartments across the way, other hotel rooms.
Are you close enough to like see stuff, people doing things in there?
Yeah. Like one morning I got back from a run. I went for a run in downtown and got back and I saw that there was someone getting ready to do yoga in her apartment.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, all right. It was funny because there was an apartment right above the other and they were watching competing national television programs. And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. They're 100% opposites, you know? And it was just kind of neat. Like, I was looking at someone else who was reading a book and just going about their life. Right, exactly.
So people need to close their curtains, is what I'm learning.
Well, and apparently, especially me.
Oh, my God! Did you come out of the shower to air dry and then notice that maybe someone was looking in windows the way you were?
So it was awkward because there was, okay, I get done with my run, like I say, and I'm changing to go in the shower.
But you didn't decide to change in the bathroom. You just were changing out in the room.
Well, yeah. Why would I do that? Because I literally have a hotel room all to myself.
But absolutely.
There's no one there.
But open windows and you were just looking into.
And keep in mind, I know I had the blinds open because earlier I was looking out the window, just kind of checking out what was happening in the neighborhood. So I am completely changed out of my running clothes and I go over to the window to like lay my sweaty running clothes by the vent, I guess.
You walk over to the window. In your birthday suit.
Yes.
Your sweaty, sweaty birthday suit.
And I look up.
Oh, my God.
And
did you make eye contact with somebody looking very surprised?
And I see someone about 100 yards, 50 yards away in another condo that just gives me a thumbs up. And I got so red in the face. I just wave and I leave. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I just do?
I just did. I have Phoebe from Friends. And my eyes, my eyes.
It was a guy, not a girl. I don't know if I would have gotten the same.
Probably not.
Reaction.
Probably not. She would have thought, hey, creeper, who's naked looking at me in my window.
I know.
That's probably how she would have taken that. Yeah.
So then
it's probably a good thing.
So then walking out of the hotel, I'm looking at everybody suspect.
Just looking down.
I made sure.
Because you do not want to make that eye contact again, do you?
Well, again, I put some sunglasses on and I was just
he
looking.
Wouldn't have recognized you. You would have had clothes on.
I know. I was like, listen, let's see a lineup. All right. Not you, not you.
Nope, that's the guy.
Pale and hairy? Yep, that's you. All right. Yeah, so I realized that I flashed someone there while in Chicago.
Oh, such fun. Such fun.
Such fun, yes. Fun was had by all.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've ever done that or not, or realized that. No, not you. You are 100% buttoned up and all that. Like,
yep.
I'm a little bit more free and loose when it comes to a hotel room.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit more free and loose when it comes to my own house.
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
Right.
And your daughters have
been
the brunt of that.
Oh, my gosh. My daughter the other day. She's getting ready to literally leave for college. This is Isabella, poor girl. I go and I drop my clothes off in the laundry room and I was making the walk back to the bathroom.
Oh,
and I hear her come down and I realize that we're going to intersect. And so I'm like, oh. Isabella, I'm naked. And she's like, thank you. And she turns around. I just
listen. Right. You need a better system, sir. How do you? Why can you not go into the bathroom, close the door, strip there, get in the shower, and then after your shower, carry your clothes and put them in the laundry, sir.
All right. Well, all these are great suggestions. Oh, thank you. I will keep them in mind for next time.
That's great.
All right.
So you know what? Go. They're so happy to be moving out to college now. Right. They're like, you know what? I don't have to run into Dad naked anymore.
Yeah. All right. It's 99. Do this every hour. You even think this may get me to cry?
Quite possibly. Okay. It is that good.
All right.
So I had instant tears when I watched the video of Wynton Bernard. He spent 5 or 10 years playing in the minor leagues before he finally got the news he was getting called up to the majors. So immediately he FaceTimes his mom to give her the news.
Mom, I'm going to the major leagues. I'm going, Mom. I promise, Mom. I'm going. They just told me just now. I did it, Mom. I love you so much. Thank you for everything, Mom. Thank you. Thank you for supporting me. I can't do this without you.
Oh, that is so sweet.
How were you not a blubbering mess right now?
I think that is so, like, I hope for everybody to be able to have someone that they can, like, call like that with news, you know?
Yes, and that will be that emotional with them.
Yes.
And that's what mothers do, and this is such an amazing moment. And so then, you know, he gets called up to the Colorado Rockies, and in his first appearance in the majors, gets his first hit, which they at first called him out, but then they rolled back the tape, and he clearly was safe. So he's on the base, and then he steals second, makes it around a third, eventually scores. He's the oldest player to get a hit and steal a base in their debut in the majors since 1907.
Wow, that's cool.
Isn't that fantastic? Yep. He is, like, living his best life right now, and he deserves it. He put in 10 years of hard work in the minors, and he's just, like, he's so fantastic. You can see all of those videos, the original crying to mom, then, you know, see his run around the bases and all that. It's up at WDJX.com.
That's just a good story of just, like, never give up.
Yes. Yes. It's got all of the ingredients of just an amazing story that continues to unfold.
Good stuff.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Got a message from Laura. She says, "Hey, Ben and Kelly, I'm hoping you can help me. I'm in the middle of a pretty cliched predicament, but I'm really at a loss for what to do."
All right.
My best friend's marrying a total jerk, and she's asked me to be her maid of honor.
Okay.
Well, not so much asked as it's unspoken because she was my maid of honor, and I've just yet to receive an official request.
All right.
I hope that's the case.
We are making some big assumptions.
So anyway, she says, "I spent the past couple of days searching for advice on how to handle it. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I feel I should support her by being in the wedding and resist the urge to give my two cents. But another part of me feels like it would be disingenuous, not to mention downright difficult, to have to feign supportiveness for this union in word and deed for the upcoming months."
Mm-hmm.
I think she probably senses deep down that a lot of her friends don't like her husband-to-be, but is in denial about it. What do you guys think?
Oh, geez. All right. Well, here, first off, let's just assume that you are, because this could all be over quickly if you are never actually the maid of honor.
Right.
And then
there's a much more, another problem to address. Like, what happened to your relationship?
Right, right. In which case, you just go as a guest and, you know.
And then you keep your mouth shut.
Right. But assuming you are the maid of honor, I still think you do that. I still think you keep your mouth shut and you do it. Because if you say that she's your best friend and she was your maid of honor, I feel like that's, I don't know, that's what you do.
If they're best friends. I'm kind of shocked that at some point during her best friend's courtship relationship as it was developing mm-hmm. with now her soon-to-be husband.
Right.
That she didn't
Someone didn't pull her aside.
At all
yeah.
any of the concerns that she saw.
I don't know. And maybe... wow. Yeah.
I feel like now that yeah. we're down to they're getting married, we've missed our window to say anything, haven't we?
Yeah.
Unless there's something truly, like, alarming.
Yeah, like, you know for a fact that, like, he is currently getting with some other girl and she
yes,
doesn't know
or
that.
He, you know, he's, like, ever been, like, abusive to her
right.
or anything like that.
Right.
Then that's when you step in if you've been trying to subtly... you know, clue her into that mm-hmm. along the way, and she's been missing it all.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now would be your last time to just be like, hey, there's some serious red flags I think you're ignoring.
If you've been in this situation and you're like, I'm watching the Hindenburg,
uh-huh.
maybe your experience with how you approached it would help. So 502-571-9970, that's our number. You can call or text. That's what we do with group therapy. We all, as a group, try to help out. And in this case, helping out Lara and her situation.
So does she say anything or does she keep her mouth shut? Regardless if we actually get the title of yeah, Maid of
right,
Honor.
Right, let's assume. Let's just assume that she is. All right?
Yeah.
Let's just assume. Because
okay.
if she's not, then this is all moot and what are we doing here? Right?
Well, they're still best friends, though, apparently.
Group therapy. We're in the middle of Lara's situation, and the issue is the fact that she's been asked to. Well, okay, let's assume.
No, she hasn't been asked yet.
Let's assume.
Back the truck up.
Let's assume
okay.
that she's actually going to be the maid of honor for her best friend's upcoming wedding. She's torn because part of her feels like it would be disingenuous to have to feign supportiveness for her friend because she's marrying a jerk.
Yes. And so she's like, okay, what do I do? Do I speak up or do I just not just
right.
keep my feelings to myself?
Yeah.
Carla said, honestly, I've seen situations like this happen before. Unfortunately, the friend ends up being the one ousted.
Mm.
So unless you feel strongly enough about his behavior to risk losing her, like if he's being abusive, then best advice I've got is to bite your tongue, be there for her through thick and thin. Now, Angela said, I've been in this situation.
Yeah.
What's most important to me is to be there for my best friend, period. If you have to do it through gritted teeth, then so be it. If you guys are so close, she's most likely well aware how you feel about him. Love her, support her, and be there for her inner happiness. And if she needs you later, do the same.
Hey, Tanya, so one of your great friends kind of went through this, too.
My best friend from high school had this exact situation. She ended up being pregnant.
Mm.
And so she was going to marry the guy, and he was a horrible human being.
Mm.
Abusive, and the day of the wedding, right before walking down the aisle, I looked at her and I said, oh my gosh, I'll help you raise the baby. Do not marry this guy.
Oh my gosh.
Just awful. Do not do it. Do not do it. Do not do it. And she ended up marrying him and they divorced.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible relationship. But to this day, she and I, because I was so honest and so blunt and so forward, and I stood by her the whole time. I never left her side, even through this marriage. I was her person that she could come to always. But, you know, here we are, and we are still best friends 35 years later.
So you're thinking wow. that almost, like, helped build a deeper connection between you and her?
It did, and any time that they had a horrible falling out or he was just awful to her, I, again, would say, okay, divorce him. I'll help you raise the baby.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here. I'm your best friend. We'll move in together. We'll be that couple.
Yeah. But she just had to get there herself.
She did. She did have to get there. She had to figure it all out. But I never left her side. I wasn't that person that walked away because I couldn't stand him.
Watching it happen.
Yeah, because, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was leave her in the dust where she had absolutely nobody.
So Tanya,
what a good friend you are.
Yeah. So Tanya, you're saying maybe Lara needs to be honest with her friend, but say, look, I'm still going to be your maid of honor, but I have to get this off my chest.
Yes. She needs to step forward and just say, hey, you know, I'm just going to point this out because sometimes when you're in the car, you don't see the crash that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. But when you're an outsider and you're looking in, you see the train wreck that's in the future. Mm. And you just need to let them know and say, hey, you know, if you walk away, I'm here for you. But if you stay, I'm also here for you. But you just need to know how people feel about this person.
All right.
That's really good.
Well, Tanya, thank you.
You're welcome.
Man, that's the bottom line, is you just have to let her know and assure her, I'm here for you no matter what.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever you decide, but I do need to tell you how I feel about this. Maybe it's something you can't see right now.
That would worry me that her best friend would kind of turn on her and say, well, I didn't know that's how you felt, and we're no longer friends.
There's always that that possibility, yeah, that she'd be so hurt that she turns her back on her friend for being too honest. But, you know, she could. I think it all depends on how you word it, how you approach it. Say, listen, I love you. I'm just afraid you're making a mistake. And either way, if this is what you want to do, I'll ride it out with you.
Yeah. Before I was getting married many years ago, I had a guy. He wasn't in my wedding. He was just a coworker at the radio station I worked for.
Uh-huh.
He said, listen, I'll be your guy. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, everybody's got to have a guy that they can call if you get cold feet. No questions asked. I'll come pick you up. I was like,
oh my God.
Okay. I'm not going to need that, but all right. thank you. So
thanks for that.
You know, maybe she's, you know, just that girl for her friend. I don't know. But hey, good luck. Hopefully, I still go back to, you know, you just grit your teeth and you say, hey, look, I'm going to be your maid of honor and be there for you.
Yes.
Again, we are assuming that this is all going to happen. All right.
We have jumped over one step that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So good luck. And hopefully it works out for y'all, and keep us posted. Content ahead is probably PG-13. Just giving you a quick warning. All right.
Okay. So, all right. Warning. Maybe the kids are at school, hopefully.
Kelly, have you ever been on the receiving end of an unsolicited picture sent to you?
No. You've asked me this before, but the answer is no. Still no. Always no. Thank goodness, no.
Thank goodness you've never been sent that.
Yes. Thank goodness, no.
I mean, you'd think that there would be a group of people who would be immune to that sort of thing, right? And that would be the sight impaired.
Okay, yes.
Because, I mean, they're not going to get the same reaction.
Right.
I'm assuming. So why would people even send those photos to the sight impaired? Well, they do, because they're guys.
Okay.
And so this woman gets on TikTok, and she's blind. She talks about that. And she explains what happens when guys send pictures of their stuff to her via text. She can't see the photos, so she relies on something called a screen reader that describes what's in the photo.
No. I'm blind, and I get sent a lot of lower regional area pictures.
Lower regional area pictures. I like that. Let's use that from now on. Lower regional pictures.
From guys. Like, maybe they don't believe I'm blind, but I rely on a screen reader to narrate my phone to me, and it also narrates images.
Okay, so she's just saying, look, hey, that any photo that I get sent, it narrates the images as well as text.
Yes, the phone is going to explain it to me. It's going to describe it.
And I have just received an image, and I have to share this with you. This is what my screen reader has described to me.
Okay, so keep in mind, she got an unsolicited photo.
Uh-huh.
This is what the phone describes.
One face, probably a mushroom growing in the ground.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, bless the phone's heart for assuming that's what that is.
Probably a mushroom growing in the ground.
Oh, well, that does paint a picture in our minds, too, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, we're experiencing it the same way she is.
Oh, my gosh. How funny is that?
I'm really happy.
And you know what?
I don't get those pictures.
We learned something, too, because I didn't know that that's how, the sight impaired got their photos and
that is fantastic. That's fascinating. Uh-huh. And you know, oh wow.
So just know that even if you think because the person you're sending into is blind, they're not going to be able to see the type of photo you sent. You're wrong.
Probably a mushroom growing in the ground.
Nope. Yep. The phone will paint a picture for them in their mind. Oh, bless her for sharing that.
Oh, that is great. That is great. And feel good stories, Kelly Kay.
So this is a story I've been following since last week. Last Monday, 12-year-old Easton Oliverson from Utah was there at the Little League World Series. Should have just been super excited about playing at that level.
Right.
First team out of Utah to make it to the Little League World Series. Well, he was staying there in the dorms, fell out of the top bunk.
Oh, jeez.
Had no rails, no guardrails at all. Cracked his skull, broke his cheekbone, had a brain bleed due to a broken artery, was put in a medically induced coma, but started to come out of it late last week.
And the tests have all come out really good, so I think we're just waiting to fully see where he's at with his brain activity and his memory.
Easton's favorite baseball player, Los Angeles Dodger Mookie Betts, also sent him this get well message.
We are praying for you, thinking of you, and I hope to see you soon, my man.
So, who will replace Easton on the team? His little brother Brogan will be filling in for him as Easton continues his path to recovery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so as of late last week, he was starting to eat, knew his name and age when he was brought out of the coma, which were great signs of progress. There's been some facial swelling causing some vision problems right now. But last night, his dad gave an update to the news that they were expected to fly back to Utah tomorrow and that Easton's going to remain in the hospital there. But he said he's just grateful that he's still alive. He said, I was pretty much told he had a 0% chance to live.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he said there's a chance for a full recovery. We're just very fortunate. Just a matter of how long and the therapy he's going to get. They're asking for continued prayers. In the meantime, they did take all of the bunk beds off, and now all the beds are on the floor.
Oh, that's smart.
Because of all this. I mean, when you saw the bunks they were sleeping on, good Lord, if anybody rolled over at all in their sleep, they could, you know, suffer the same kind of fate. So the family set up an Instagram account called Miracles for Tank. Mm-hmm. That's his nickname, that they are updating everybody on his road to recovery. You can see that story at WDJX.com.
Ray is a volunteer firefighter, but Ray is also the subject of our Setting the Bar story.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Setting the Bar stories are what, Kelly?
Examples of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Look, I get it. We need to practice in order to keep our skills sharp, you know?
Yeah.
But the way Ray did is probably not the way to do it, all right?
Okay.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without starting a fire in order to practice putting it out, you're doing okay. Keep in mind, Ray is a volunteer firefighter.
But for real, I mean, how else are you going to hone your skills if you do not practice? Practice makes perfect, does it not?
So Ray was amongst the first team on the scene.
Oh, to probably help, because he had an insider tip as to where that fire was starting.
To help with a warehouse fire that had been started.
Oh, dang.
The problem was, about a half an hour prior, security camera footage spotted Ray.
Uh-oh.
They're in the same 22,000 square foot abandoned multi-story building.
Oh, boy. Setting that bad boy ablaze. It's practice time.
And they recognized, apparently, and I don't know what he was wearing, but apparently he was wearing very distinctive clothing, both on the footage and then also to fight the fire.
Oh, did he not put the gear on?
Well, he didn't change his clothes, that's for sure.
Okay.
So then he volunteered because he was identified as a suspect. Like, hey, you may want to talk to Ray because he was here before the fire started. Maybe he saw someone.
Seems to have some maybe inside knowledge.
Yeah, maybe he saw someone. Maybe he saw the perp. So they're like, Ray. And so he's like, yeah, sure, I'll talk to authorities. That's right. And then buckled under pressure, ended up confessing.
Okay. And then they're like, Ray, listen, we do actually have areas like structure is set up for the sole purpose of helping you guys practice, right? We don't go and select practice spots on our own. We don't.
Yeah, look, volunteer firefighting is super important.
Yes, and we want you to hone your skills, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to get some experience somehow, but let's not just go pick the spots by ourselves and set them ablaze.
You know what? Let's, this doesn't look like it's being used anymore. Let's go ahead and practice on this guy.
Light her up.
Light her up. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Wow. So, good to know. You know, again, I really appreciate the fact he wants to get better at his craft.
Yes.
Maybe not the way to do it, though.
Right. Exactly. So, again, if you can manage to make it through the day without starting the fire in order to practice putting the fire out, then you're doing okay.
Bless his heart. I feel like it was in the right place. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
A little misguided.
All right. There you go. That's setting the bar. So there was a champion crowned. We have highlighted over the past couple days, or at least last week, the mullet championships that were taking place. The USA Kids Mullet Championships.
When you say been crowned, he's already wearing a crown. I mean, that's
this is true.
He's a work of art.
This is true, but we need to say congratulations to 8-year-old Emmett Bailey, who has been dubbed Mullet Boy and won first place in the Mullet Championship Kid Division.
Wow.
Yeah, so his dad, Eric, talking about how cool it is, and then Emmett chiming in.
I mean, athletes and rock stars, they have mullets. I mean, it's pretty cool. He has went viral, and I can't wrap my head around it right now. He is worldwide. The intent from the get-go is just to have fun with
yeah.
it. And it has been wild. Everyone keeps asking, are you going to cut it off when the contest is done?
Yeah, so what's he say? What
is no.
What does Emmett say?
Why would I do that?
Yeah, there you go. Why would I do that?
It's made me famous and I'm glorious. So why not? Not keep it?
What's kind of funny is David Spade, maybe you know from the movie Joe Dirt, rocked a mullet in Joe Dirt, which is a movie from like the 90s, right? Early 2000s. So anyways,
it was probably a wig too, because that thing was like magnificent too.
So So while this was happening, he jumped on TikTok to critique some of the boys that were in the kids division of the mullet championships.
That's fantastic.
Rustin, this cute little goat roper. I like the poofy hair. I like he's holding a little fish or drumstick. Blank stare, pretty studly. Landry, flag carved in. Oh, I don't know if that's legal. But you know what? This little mugshot's good. A lot of frecks, good smile. Billy Doo, this tank.
This tank.
He means biz, dude. He's hitting dingers. Look at how huge those shades are. Terminator. Epic. Different shades. Nice. Interesting. Hawaii shirt. I don't know if I'd go with that. All winners to me, though.
He's like all winners to me. I love it. So anyways, congrats to Emmett Bailey, 8-year-old champion
yeah,
of the mullets.
I mean, hairstyles like that, they just really have a life of their own, don't they?
Right.
Personalities of their own should have their own Instagram accounts.
That is true. If you'll recall, we had a listener who proposed to his girlfriend with a ring that had some stank on it already.
You say stank, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
the update was,
yeah, was
unexpected.
Not, yeah, it was unexpected. That is for sure. You know, what I mean by stank is it was
an
engagement ring that was a failed engagement of his. Mm-hmm. So he had kind of regifted the engagement ring to his new girlfriend or to his new now fiance. And so got the update. And as you said, it was unexpected. So
in the best way. This is, you definitely need to hear the whole story unfold.
So yeah, you can catch that up at WDGX.com. Click listen. Also, there was, you know, maid of honor problems to continue with those sort of wedding and fiance sort of storyline. And then there was some, you know, nudity that was on the show.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of stuff.
Described nudity. There's nudity a couple times, right?
That's what I said, yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah, so again, there was a lot on the show if you missed, but good thing for you, you can always catch up on the podcast, all right?
It's all up there in snackable bites and the whole buffet.
Yep, WDJX.com. What else, Kelly?
That's about it. Right. Oh, by the way, I am posting a fun little video. Listen, we got to keep it between us, though. Okay, because my son catches wind that I posted it, he'd probably die.
He doesn't have a Facebook account, right?
He does not. Nope. Okay. Nope. That's why we can keep it between us. But it's a fun little moment. Last night, some friends had a little deck karaoke party.
Mm-hmm.
I got some low-key, like, secret video of him slaying Nicky Yore.
Oh, all right. Just sunroof.
One of those situations where, you know, mom station plays it incessantly.
Yeah.
So you're going to, like, slay the game.
Right.
I'll play a little bit of it. Just here we go. I mean, it sounds exactly like
I was going to say, he sounds exactly like the dude.
You got to see the swag, though, in the performance.
All right.
Which is why you need to see the video. It's going to be on our Instagram story at Ben and Kelly.
There you go. All right, guys, have a good one, and we will.